That's a lot of money.
Okay, the Environment, Economic Development, Agriculture Division for Monday, March 9th, 2015 will come to order. We're going to change the order of the agenda a little bit. Senator Dietzick, we'll start off with Senate File 411, the Minnesota High Tech Association Science Tech Experience and Science Technology Engineering and Math STEM Internships Appropriations. I hope I didn't give the whole presentation for the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. Thanks for hearing this bill. Senate File 411, the Science Experience Internship Program connects college students studying science, technology, engineering, and mathematics with paid internships at small and medium-sized businesses across Minnesota to give them a real-world experience. The program helps attract and retain talented students to remain in Minnesota's STEM workforce after graduation. Filling the high-tech, high-wage jobs is crucial to Minnesota's economy. STEM jobs' average wage is between $78,000 and $85,000. The program is open to Minnesota college students in the STEM fields who are halfway through their two-year degree or four-year degree program. The Minnesota High Tech Association pre-screens businesses and students and facilitates the connections. Businesses maintain all hiring authority and receive a dollar-for-dollar match to cover 50% of the intern's wages. The match is capped at $2,500. The average wage for the student interns was about $14 an hour. There should be a map in your packet, at least I hope there is, that kind of shows that the jobs and the companies were throughout Minnesota. So this is both a rural and a metro program. The bill asks for about $2 million to continue funding the SciTech Experience Internship Program run by the Minnesota High Tech Association so we can continue to grow high-wage jobs throughout Minnesota. This year's amount will double the number of internships from 225 to 450 over the next 2 years. We have a few participants in the program to briefly discuss their experience, and I will ask that we start with Mr. John Dukic from the High Tech Association to provide a brief overview of the program.
Mr. Dukic, just say your name for the record.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, John Dukic with the Minnesota High Tech Association. So these internships provide give students the opportunity to take what they learn in the classroom and apply it to the real world, solving business problems and giving students the hands-on experience they need to enter the STEM workforce full-time after they graduate from college. Businesses benefit from the increased productivity on the job at a reduced rate, allowing them to complete projects ahead of time or that would otherwise be postponed. And as Senator Dietzick mentioned, funding at the $2 million level will allow us to greatly expand the program. Since the program's founding in 2012, we have funded nearly 300 internships, and 2014 was the best year yet. With more than 600 student applicants to the program, we had enough funding for only 117 internships. These internships took place throughout the state, from Perham to Laverne to St. Cloud and Floodwood, and across the metro as well. This year, we have a goal of placing 125 interns, and as of today, this morning, we have 114 companies registered, 561 students registered, and have already placed 44 interns. This places us much ahead of schedule compared to last year. With the $2 million, as Senator Dietzick mentioned, that will double the number of internships from 225 to 450. And as we compete with other countries and states around our country for talented students and workforce, we must do what we can here in the state to keep and retain talented STEM students and employees in Minnesota. And with your help, we can continue SciTech Experience as a way to prepare our students for entering the STEM workforce. And today we have with us a couple of employers and students who can share with you their experience with the program.
Okay. Any questions of Mr. Dukic? Okay. Who do you want to come up first? Okay. Just say your name for the record and then begin your testimony.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is David Obert.
1 minute. A quorum is present. Okay. Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is David Oberg. I'm here on behalf of the SciTech Experience Internship Program. I'm a senior in aerospace engineering at the University of Minnesota. I found the SciTech Experience Internship Program through the University of Minnesota's Gold Pass job board system. I was an intern this past summer at Aerospace Fabrication and Materials in Farmington, Minnesota. They develop passive thermal control systems for satellites and spacecraft. My main duties while I was an intern was manufacturing readiness, which includes plotting manufacturing templates for fabrication, as well as verifying work instructions and parts lists. One of the other cool things that I worked on while I was there was I was able to do cryogenic experiments in low pressure environments on different materials to see how they would hold up in a space environment. This experience has taught me how to apply engineering principles that I've learned in school to real world applications, which includes communication on a technical level and the documentation and design processes that are involved in any engineering workplace. I've also learned that working for a small company is really, it really allows for a lot of flexibility in my career. I've been able to take on a lot more responsibility that I would be able to at a larger company, which has been great for me because it helps me develop my leadership roles, and it'll allow me to be more successful in my career later on. Because of this program, I've actually accepted a full-time position at that company that I start June 1st this year. So this company is, or this program is, has led me to a full-time position, which is great.
Thank you. And are you going to be making the average of what was quoted here?
not quite yet, but I'll get there eventually.
Okay. And secondly, what is an aerospace company doing in Farmington?
Building multi-layer insulation blankets.
And do you know how they got there?
They used to be part of Sheldahl, which is a materials company in Northfield.
Northfield, Minnesota.
And they spun off from that when Sheldahl stopped building the blankets that AFM now builds.
And what are passive thermal controls?
It basically consists of multi-layer insulation blankets. So you take the main goal is to prevent radiation from affecting the temperature of a satellite or a spacecraft. So you have multi-layer insulation, which is layers of aluminum, aluminized mylar or Kapton, and between those they're thermally insulated by other layers of mesh. So we also do micrometeoroid debris shielding as well. So we did some of the beta cloth.
You keep using those words, I'm going to have to keep asking you what they are.
We also did some of the beta cloth blankets for the International Space Station.
Okay. All right. Any questions, Mr. Olberg? Okay, thank you. Go ahead. Say your name for the record and then just continue.
Mr. Chair and Committee, I'm Kent Cavender-Bear, CEO of Robot Systems. We're a local startup. We build self-driving machines to work in cornfields to help farmers apply nitrogen fertilizer at the right time and keep it out of the rivers. This past year, we hired two SciTech Experience interns, and unlike a lot of other companies, gave them a very broad, open-ended task. They performed well, and they actually left us with insight into our strategy that well exceeded any investment that we put in them. As you know, small company, every dollar counts, so the contribution from the program was essential. We're hoping to do it next year or this coming year as well. Thank you.
Thank you. And you got one more?
Two more.
Okay. Same with you. Just say your name for the record, so we got it on tape. So,
Mr. Chair and members of the
is there such a thing
committee?
As tape anymore? I don't know. Do we have tape? We don't have tape. No, we don't. Okay, anyway, go ahead.
My name is Brian Voigt, and I'm a third-year senior at Gustavus Adolphus College in St. Peter, Minnesota, majoring in chemistry. Last summer, I had an internship through SciTech Experience at T3 Scientific with Su Yu Tam. Actually, you'll hear from her in about a minute. She was my boss, so I'm kind of required to say good things, right?
You got the hang of it already, huh?
It didn't take any bribing. With T3, I worked on using palladium films for ultra-purification of hydrogen gas. So I worked on electroless plating, in situ quantitation methods of palladium, and also recycling palladium to maximize our cost effectiveness. Because of a small business and palladium costing a lot of money, we had to be very careful about using materials wisely. Through this internship, I learned a lot, not just academically about palladium, chemistry, and instrumentation, but I also I learned a lot about how to work independently. I had my own projects, and I got to work on them and then just get back to my bosses and my coworkers when I had progress. I didn't necessarily get to ask them questions every 5 minutes because they had their own stuff to work on. I also got a lot of good skills in communication because the things I was working on directly affected my coworkers and my bosses and the direction of the business. So I got to get a lot of really good technical skills in communication and problem solving. Also, I got a really good look at the industry. I've been in academia. I'm an undergraduate. I've done research. But industry has never been really something I've been involved in. So it's really good to get a good look at small businesses and research and development, and especially the Twin Cities area. This internship has actually made a large difference and large impact in my career goals. I've always been a chem major for the past couple of years, and I realized I wanted to go to graduate school and that I liked materials. And I loved using chemistry to solve materials problems. So now I am actually geared towards working in research and development and solving problems in industry and in society that materials can. And actually I'm on the verge of, not officially, but accepting an application for admission at the University of Minnesota for materials science and engineering in a PhD program. And a lot of my interest in that program was based on this internship.
Very interesting. So isn't palladium one of the minerals we use in catalytic converters?
Yes. It's a lot like platinum and gold. It's in the noble group of elements.
And then where do we get it from?
I believe it's in the Earth's crust. It's more abundant than platinum, so it's not quite as expensive.
You mean we have to mine it?
Yes.
Okay, I'm just wondering.
I saw that coming.
Okay, doctor, go ahead. Unless there's any other questions. Go ahead. Doctor, go ahead. Just say your name for the record.
This is Chair and committee members. I'm Siyu Tam, and President of T3 Scientific. We are the developer and maker of energy-efficient membranes.
Can you pull the microphone a little closer to you, please?
Membranes for purifying gases such as hydrogen and oxygen. And we are also the winner of 2014 Techni Award in the advanced manufacturing category. The site experience really kickstarted our internship program. Before this program came along, we hired zero students. Since we participate in this program 3 years in a row, and each year hiring up the previous one, we have hired 9 student counts and counting. They contributed greatly to our business and to the award as well. So Brian was one of our outstanding interns. We consider ourselves as partners of the state. The state provides a matching fund, and we thank you for that. But we also put in a lot of effort and resources in training these students, helping them and seeing them thrive. The program is really a pre-hiring or a screening piece of our long-term hiring plan. We hope that some of these students will stay on in our company, but it's also comforting to know that most of them will eventually benefit the state of Minnesota. Thank you.
So are you helping teach these kids their craft? Is that kind of what it is?
Yes, we put in a lot of effort to teach them.
And how many do you end up keeping?
We are hoping to keep some. We had offered to some, but we haven't had any retained yet, so we'll keep trying.
Okay. Any questions then, Dr. Yu? Yeah. Okay, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Senator Dietzig, anything else?
No, thank you for hearing the bill. And again, as all the testifiers mentioned, we're doing some great things here in Minnesota. These students are learning, the companies are growing, and hopefully it grows our economy. So I thank you for hearing the bill and ask for your support.
Thank you. Okay, we're going to lay this over, but first we're just going to a little bit of information about the budgets and how they're set up here. Mr. Mueller.
Mr. Chairman and members, looks like this program, the bill is asking for $2 million over the biennium, which is about double what is the current budget, and it's in the base, so this would be doubling their budget.
And is the governor?
It's also in the governor's base budget, so it's part of the governor's proposal, but not at the $1 million amount, not the $2 million in the bill.
Okay. All right. So this is an attempt to increase the funding for the program.
Yes.
All right. Okay. Senator Dietz, thank you very much. Are there any questions of the committee? Okay. Seeing none, then we'll lay Senate File 411 over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill. Senator Saxhawk. Senate File 428, Senator Saxon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Today I'm presenting, as you said, Senate File 428. The bill provides $750,000 per year for the Boys and Girls Clubs across the state to support efforts in youth workforce development. This is identical amount to what was funded in the 2014-2015 session. Boys and Girls Club provide programs, experience, and supportive relationships with peers and adults. The club focuses programming on academic success, character and citizenship, and healthy lifestyles. With me today is Carl Mork, Impact and Administrative Director from Boys and Girls Club of Bemidji. And he's going to give a brief presentation and help answer any questions the committee might have, and he'll introduce other people at the table, too.
Mark, go ahead and say your name for the record, please.
And my name is Carl Mork, and I am the Impact Administrative Director at the Boys and Girls Club in Bemidji, Minnesota. Mr. Right. Chair and members of the committee, Senator Saxhawk, thank you for having us here.
Whenever somebody says Bemidji, I have to point out I was born there.
Okay.
I know it well. I lived there for a month. Anyway, go ahead.
Well, I've been there for 28 years.
Okay.
So.
All right.
Again, thank you. The mission of the Boys and Girls Club is to enable all young people, especially those who need us most, to reach their full potential as productive, caring, responsible citizens. And as Senator Saxhawk says, our key areas of influence right now are academic success, good character and citizenship, and healthy lifestyles. Minnesota Alliance of Boys and Girls Clubs is partnered with this, and Boys and Girls Club of Bemidji is a part of that alliance. We have all different clubs that have all sorts of different ages, but in general, Boys and Girls Clubs have been around for about 150 years. Through this program, we do programming specifically around job preparedness, career readiness, goal-setting programming for younger kids, resistance training, resistance to alcohol, drugs, substance abuse, as well as premature sexual activity, and then also fiscal readiness, money management. And that can be anything from filling out a budget to how to invest and save to figuring out how to fill out a FAFSA. And so that's what we do at the club. In Bemidji, we have been able to use our funds to reach approximately last year, reach about 60 youth through career readiness programming and about 160 youth through the other programming, such as goal setting and resistance training, which exceeded our goals for both. We've been able to use our funds to go past the rural, or even of Bemidji, and we've been able to reach Kellyer School District and Park Rapids to be able to offer those programs. Statewide, about half of the clubs are rural. About half of them are suburban and urban. About 33% or so are on native lands. And last year we served, where's my note, about 53,000 youth and about 4,000 youth a day. So that's kind of your basic nutshell, but I'd kind of share a little bit of an impact story about what actually it looks like on a daily basis. One of our members, Abby, has been a member for about 10 years. She started when she was about 8 years old. She's now graduated. But the story along the way is what's interesting. Abby was a single parent household, single mom. Dad estranged, had other families in other towns. And things were okay. Mom was a business owner. She ran her own shop in town. And things worked. However, in high school, early in high school, the business closed. Couldn't keep it going. And Dad moved back into town. Dad eventually moved back into the house, and finances got tough. Father was suspected of within the home selling illegal drugs and things like that out of the house in order to support the family and others. Utilities eventually got shut off, and Abby was without transportation, without a way to school consistently, without a way to the Boys and Girls Club, without a way to dance class, which she loved so much. The Boys and Girls Club really kind of filled a role for her, though. So she wasn't able to get her needs met through other means, so we stepped in. She was able to get her need for a strong male role model met through the team director at the Boys and Girls Club, who supported her and helped her find confidence, solace, safety, skills, and resistance. We would pick her up and drop her off from school and dance class, and she would go to things like Career Launch and Money Matters and Smart Moves and Goals for Growth at the club. Fortunately for Abby, she had that. She was able to stay at the club. Many times she came to us and asked whether or not she should leave and leave her family and leave her home. But she was always too torn by the idea of her responsibility, and responsibility to her brothers and responsibility to her mother. And whether or not she should call social services on herself. But she made it. She was able to graduate high school through the support of the Boys and Girls Club and through her other mechanisms in town. And she graduated with a plan. She enrolled in a trade school, and she's still in that trade school. She wrote with the goal of graduating from that to be able to then get a job, to be able to put herself through a four-year degree. So that's just one example of the impact of the Boys and Girls Club on a daily and yearly basis. With me today is Chevelle Powell. He's a Boys and Girls Club of the Twin Cities alumni, Mount Airy unit, and I will cede the floor to him.
Paul, just say your name for the record and then go ahead.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Chevelle Powell from the Mount Airy Boys and Girls Club. Today is actually my last day as a Boys and Girls Club member. Today is my birthday, turning 19.
Happy birthday.
But as a little kid, 6 years old, snuck out the house, walking around the neighborhood, I stumbled on this white little building my brother always talks about, and it was the Boys and Girls Club I never really knew about. And I met this mentor. He's a mentor of mine now. His name is Isaac Combs, and he scared me at first, so I ran away, but he chased me down, and he told me, if you want to become a club member, you're welcome, just walk in, we'll welcome you in. Ever since that day, I've been a club member since now, and I grew up with my friends since I was six. I seen a change. What happened, they did not continue on with school. I did. Now I graduated 2014, and I'm ready for college because of the Mount Airy Boys and Girls Club, the programs they put me through. College wasn't really my goal because I live with my mom. She's single, and she didn't work, and I have to work to pay the bills, and I didn't really think college would be the way to go for me. But the Boys and Girls Club told me, just apply for FAFSA. We can help you from start to finish. Now I'm going to St. Cloud. I'm this fall, and I'm just helping my mom out with the last bills. She don't have to really worry about it anymore. And Boys and Girls Club been there for me since day one, and I'm happy to be an alumni for the Boys and Girls Club. And I'll do anything to help the Boys and Girls Club if they need me. The only thing, they can just make one phone call, and I'm there. You know, I wasn't even planning on coming here today till Ms. Diana Anderson called me, and she said, "We need your help." I'm here. You know, I'm just happy to help the Boys and Girls Club. You know, in the future, if I ever become successful, which I know I will, and the Boys and Girls Club would never, ever leave my mind. I would never leave the Boys and Girls Club behind because I know what I came from, and I know how it helped me, where it led me to. So I just thank the Boys and Girls Club around the world, whoever just made the Boys and Girls Club. I just want to thank the person who did, because it really helped me a lot, and I'm just really grateful for being here in front of you, Mr. Chairman.
Do you have a fondest memory or activity that you did while you were there that you can share with us? Or
as a little kid, I was pretty chubby, and and everyone used to make fun of me.
I know that feeling.
everyone used to make fun of me until my mentor, Isaac Combs, who was like, "Well, if you want to get skinny, you have to play basketball, play sports." And since that day, I played every sport the Boys and Girls Club offered, like soccer. I didn't think I can play soccer. I don't know how soccer came into my – just as long as you run, you will lose weight. Soccer, floor hockey, basketball, anything – the Boys and Girls Club offer, I was there for it. So,
good to hear. Senator.
Mr. Chair, thank you, and thank you for testifier. Happy birthday, Mr. Power. Technically, there's two Boys and Girls Club in the east side of St. Paul. One of them are in my district in the Mount Airy, or border to my district, and I'm very glad that you're here. I want to say also testify to support of this bill that Senator Sexhall is carrying. You know, it's a youth job skill development program. It's very effective. This it's a statewide, you know, based on the philosophy, African proverb, that it takes a village to raise the children. It takes a village to raise our children, and it helps working parents, so that we could all together take care of their children, so it could gear on to the next generation of workforce. So,
I thought that was Hillary's line. She got it from
me. She got it from somewhere else. Yeah.
She borrowed it. Mr. Mork, just out of curiosity, it says on your chart here of the strategic Boys and Girls Clubs locations. Why are those considered to be strategic? That's in the pink there. Mankato, Albert Lea, and Austin.
They're in the process of discussing chartering an organization or becoming underneath an umbrella.
Okay. And do you know which side of Lake Vermilion that Boys and Girls Club is on? I got a little bit of Lake Vermilion in my district.
Oh, a little bit. I believe it. They consider it part of the Fond du Lac, but in Tower area.
It might be in my district. Senator Westrom.
Mr. Chair, I just want to clarify, Mr. Mork, your numbers: 53,000 students a year, mm-hmm. 4,000 a day. So the 4,000 a day is kids coming back like Chevelle day after day.
That is our average daily attendance for the state, yes.
Okay. And 53,000 is the total number of students you serve, several of them many times a year.
Yeah, so we have initiatives to get kids in once a week, twice a week, things like that. And the 53,000 includes, sports clubs, things like that, where you might not be a member. It might be a, 2-week summer camp or something like that.
And you talked about Abby and the transportation. So how do you have volunteers? Do you have staff that actually go around and pick students up? In those cases, how do most people get to your facility?
Yeah, in Bemidji, for example, the school district will bring kids in that to the Boys and Girls Club that serve from schools that serve the entire community. But there's about 8 elementary schools in Bemidji. Mm-hmm. That's an estimate. And so not all those kids can get to the club. We had a generous local donor who Short story is a couple years ago we went to them and said, hey, a Boys and Girls Club of Wisconsin is selling two used vans. Would you be interested in purchasing these used vans for us? He said, no. We wouldn't be interested in purchasing that used vans. Go down to Don DeLinger's, which is the Chevy GM, and tell me what a new van costs. And he bought that for us. So we use that. We use, at times, if we need to, personal vehicles and things like that, too. So.
Okay. All right. Chevelle, thanks for coming. And a question for you. You said this is your last day. Is that because at a certain age you have to leave, or you're going off to college, or...
At a certain age, the Boys and Girls Club requirement is 18.
Okay.
So, yeah. As a club member, I can't call myself a club member anymore. I can still come back and volunteer, but as a club member, I can't, no more club cards to scan.
Congratulations, and I think you'll have great success with your attitude.
Are you thinking about taking Mr. Mark's job or anything like that? Or? Good, don't answer. That's right.
There's a lot of clubs in St. Cloud you can consider.
Okay. Well, anything else, Senator Saxon?
I don't think so, Mr. Chair. And if there isn't any more comments, I would ask that this bill be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill.
Okay, so we'll lay Senate File 428 over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill. Thank you very much.
Yep. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members.
Thank you.
So this is what we can buy. I don't know how to after that we step in our box.
Okay, Senate Files 1006. Welcome, Senator Tomasoni, to your committee.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Senate File 1006 is an appropriation, appropriating money for employment support services to persons with mental illness. It's a it's an increase over the base, but I think it's one of these types of similar to what we just heard. It has an impact that's positive, and by increasing the amount of funding to it, I think we impact more people. So I will just turn this over to my testifiers and let them give you a better explanation of why we need this and how effective it is.
Thank you, and please state your name and your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members. Sue Abderholden, Executive Director of NAMI Minnesota, National Alliance on Mental Illness. And I want to thank Senator Tomasoni, who has kind of advocated for this program for many years. This committee funds many different types of employment programs, and we wanted to make sure that you knew about IPS, Individual Placement and Supports, and its effectiveness. When we talk about recovery in the mental health field, we pretty much mean someone has a home, a date on a Saturday night, and a job. But I'm going to focus on the job. Having a job provides structure, a reason to get up in the morning, and interactions with others, all important things when you live with a serious mental illness. But sadly, we have not done very well in this area. People with mental illnesses have one of the highest unemployment rates among all disability groups. 86% of people with a serious mental illness who are using social services are unemployed, but 60% would like a job. You can't sit home in your apartment drinking coffee and especially watching daytime TV and expect to get better. We can and we must do better as a state. The IPS model has the potential for turning this around. There are 8 key components, and it is an evidence-based practice. The first one is competitive employment is the goal. So this is not a sheltered workshop or anything like that. It's a regular job in the community. A rapid job search. You don't do any pre-employment assessments. As soon as the person says they want to work, you look to get them a job. Time unlimited support, which is very important with people with mental illnesses because you can do well for a while, then your symptoms might come back, so you don't want to just place someone and then say, goodbye, we won't see you again. You need to be able to come back and forth. It's integrated with treatment, which you'll hear from other testifiers as a really key component. They do benefits counseling so people know how it affects their health insurance because we want to make sure that they get the insurance so that they can keep the treatment and medications. The providers actually look at systematic job development, and the big thing is attention to client preferences. You know, mental illness affects everyone. So we have people who even have, you know, PhDs and master's degrees in college. They might be a plumber. They might be a teacher. There can be a whole wide variety of things. So we want to make sure that we find the job that they actually, you know, have talents and interests in. So people who are competitively employed through supportive employment programs have higher incomes, improved self-esteem, and improved quality of life, and they're less likely to need more intensive mental health services such as hospitalization, crisis, and even day treatment. The governor's budget includes funds to continue the projects that you started last year to convert them over to this model, but we also wanted to see some expansion. You have a map that shows we're not, you know, everywhere in the state, so there are additional dollars for that. At this time, I'd like to ask Patricia Simning, who has used the program, to share her story.
Okay,
welcome.
Welcome, Patricia. Please state your name.
Hi, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. I'm Patty Simning, and I had a job for 30 years, and one day I crashed, and I found myself unemployed for, and I was unemployed for about a couple years, and I went through, and I served through the Bridgeview Lee Carlson the IPS program in Anoka County, and I'd like to thank you for the support of SF 1006. And why did I want to go back to work? Well, I didn't even think I wanted to, but I needed the extra money, and being out of work. Being at the same job for 30 years, I did not know even how to go about going back out, or if it's even possible. So so I was able to get back into the field that I was. I'm a caregiver for Synergy. I've been in the health field for many years. I find now that I do better one-on-one than I do with the crowd, like in a nursing home or stuff like that. So going back to work has really helped my recovery a lot. It's made me feel a whole lot better about myself. And, of course, it's nice to have the extra money and income to do whatever I need to do. And I am working with the Bridgeview Lee Carlson Center. They gave me the courage to go back out there, and they also helped me with my resume. They did a mock interview with me, as well as helping me find the job that I currently have. This is has kept me mentally healthier. I haven't slid like I did. I really enjoy going out there and working every day with elderly and mentally handicapped people. And I found the perfect job. I've been in the field a long time, and I found absolutely the best employer I could ever have. It's through Synergy Home Care in Blaine, and it's ran by Brian McDonald. He the snow day, he came and got me and drove me to my client's home because I refused to drive in the snow. But so I was out of work for about two years, and I'm very happy to be back. And I've been able to pay a couple car payments, so now my car is almost paid for, which makes me nervous because every time my car gets paid for, I smash it up. So I've been holding off on that last payment.
I'm driving the snow either.
and I was able to make I was able to arrange my funeral and pay for that, which I lost a family member, and that was a very stressful thing. So I thought I didn't want that to happen. And I've been able to manage my work schedule with I keep a calendar that I sent in with my page stubs to Social Security, and they've helped me with that, and they showed me how to manage my job and be able to stay on my Social Security.
Thank you, Ms. Olson.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to know if anybody on this committee has paid for their funeral yet. You don't have to raise your hand. I know I haven't. But anyway, it's pretty impressive.
Does any community member has a question for the two previous testifiers? Okay,
then we'll move on to the third. Please state your name.
Hi, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Natasha Olson, and I am an employment consultant with Rise Incorporated. I work with individuals with severe and persistent mental illness to gain and maintain competitive employment under the IPS model, or the Individual Placement and Supports. Together with the mental health team at the Bridgeview Lee Carlson Center and Minnesota Vocational Rehabilitation Services staff, Lynette Corlesi, I am able to assist in providing meaningful supportive employment services to individuals with serious and persistent mental illness. To me, meaningful supported employment services includes allowing the person receiving services to choose the type of work they want to do, have the team supporting them knowledgeable about their wishes and progress, as well as teaching work skills that take them from dependency to independency. The collaboration that exists within the IPS model enables me as the employment consultant to have a good understanding of each person I am working with. I am able to speak directly with the mental health team when situations arise that I need clarification on, such as if a behavior is due to a person's mental health, it may be a reaction to a medication they are on, or if it is just who that person or individual is. The mental health team also provides me with useful techniques and tools to assist individuals work through the anxiety and fear that every human being experiences when starting a new job. I also work very closely with the Voc Rehab Services to talk with individuals about their interests and what they are thinking about when returning to work. Together, we discuss their employment plan as well as what barriers to employment personally exist for that particular person. We continue by talking about how to work around or to overcome such barriers. Voc Rehab Services also teams with me to support people in explaining how someone's benefits may be affected when an individual starts going back to work. Throughout my experience as an IPS employment consultant, I have grown to understand how benefits work and are impacted by employment. Individualism of the IPS model, along with the collaboration that exists between RISE, which we're the employment network, VRS, and the Bridgeview Lee Carlson Center, provide people with serious and persistent illness meaningful supported employment services. I have personally witnessed growth, skills acquired, and most importantly, barriers diminished while working under the IPS model.
Thank you, Ms. Olson. Any question from committee members? Any other testifier?
One more.
Yes. Please state your name.
My name is Jamie Ryan. I work at Michael's Arts and Crafts Store as a custom framer. I've worked there for about a year and a half. Guild Incorporated, especially Julie Carr with Employment Services, has helped me find a great fit that piqued my interests and qualifications so that I have meaningful work and not just another job. My perfectionism, attention to detail, and artistic skill have been a real benefit at this job. Julie has helped me learn coping skills so that I'm not thrown off guard at work anymore because of anxiety. My primary diagnosis is major depressive disorder. Working with the public has helped me become less anxious and develop more personal skills. Having meaningful work that I'm passionate about gives me something to be proud of. It gives me an outlet where I can be social and feel valued and respected. My work gives me something to live for. Thank you for your time and attention.
Thank you, Ms. Meyer. Any question from committee members? Senator Tomasoni?
Okay, Mr. Chairman, and so just to point out that in the base of the, and also in the governor's recommendation, there's $3.1 million for the biennium. This is a request to increase that to $5 million, and then of that amount, $1.5 million is each year is for program expansion in areas where they don't have any of these programs. So, and then anything after that would be back to the existing programs to expand that. So just for an explanation of the bill. So,
Thank you, Senator Tomasoni.
I would just like to then lay this over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill.
All right. We will lay Senate File 1006 for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill. And thank you, testifier,
thank you
for coming. And Senator Tomasoni, looks
you.
Like.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Jensen, it looks like she's busy in another committee with another bill. And I guess I'm a co-author on her bill, so I can maybe get it started for her. if it pleases the committee.
Good idea.
Unless we want to recess and wait, but we don't know exactly how long it's going to take. So I will. I can read the presentation on the bill and then have the witnesses go ahead and testify on it. And so.
And this is Senate File 572.
572, yes. So Senate File 572 is a bill increasing the workforce development grant for Big Brothers and Big Sisters Minnesota chapters. I'm joined this afternoon by the executives of all three chapters who will tell you about the great work they are accomplishing with our dollars, private dollars, and the vast network of volunteers they have recruited to mentor youth in our state. We've asked Gloria Lewis, President and CEO of Big Brothers, Big Sisters of Greater Minnesota, to give you the background about what the agencies have done with the current appropriation and about what they will do with the increase appropriated in the bill.
Thank you.
Welcome, and please state your name for the record.
My name is Gloria Lewis, and I am the President and CEO of Big Brothers, Big Sisters of the Greater Twin Cities. I am joined this afternoon by my colleagues, Greg Zaber, from the Executive Director of Big Brothers, Big Sisters of Southern Minnesota, and Jackie Scholl Johnson, Executive Director of Big Brothers, Big Sisters of Central Minnesota. We'd like to begin today by thanking you and the members of the committee for the workforce development appropriation last session. We'd also like to thank Senator Jensen and her co-authors for bringing forward Senate File 572. This bill increases the base funding for this grant from $125,000 to $250,000 to allow our college and workforce readiness programs to expand. The Big Brothers Big Sisters mission is to provide children facing adversity with strong and enduring professionally supported one-to-one relationships that change their lives forever. Our agencies collectively serve over 3,000 youth in 15 counties. Over two-thirds of these youth are from communities of color, and three-fourths come from families with incomes that are below the federal poverty line. We are extremely proud of the reputation of our programs and of the measured results of the influence of our mentoring continues to show. In October 2013, GuideStar, the national rating agency for nonprofit organizations, released its report identifying the top nonprofits that are providing educational support for at-risk youth in Minnesota. Of the 119 Minnesota agencies reviewed, our programs were rated number 3. Still, we are striving to improve. Last fall, the University of Minnesota began working with us on a $239,000 grant from the Office of Juvenile Justice and Delinquency Prevention within the Federal Department of Justice to study and to improve our programs. I am citing these statistics as a way of telling you that the money you appropriated to our organizations is being used well and carefully. The college and workforce readiness grants that our agencies receive have served over 300 youth, providing individual assistance for future planning for college applications and scholarships to high school juniors and seniors. We are also creating a new focus on apprenticeships and certification programs. Mr. Chairman, I know that the agenda of the committee this afternoon is extremely full, and I want to be respectful of your time. It is quite valuable. We have distributed a fact sheet to the committee, which leaves you with further information about our programs, and I'd be happy to answer any questions you or any members might have. Thank you.
Thank you. Any question from committee members to Ms. Lewis? I want to inject something that Chair Tomasoni, if he's here, he would say something. Have you ever took number one? At the Big Brother
We are working to get okay. to number one.
Okay, thank you. And so the next session.
I don't know if I would ask that.
just my assumption.
Too late now.
Let's move on to the next testifier. Please state your name for the record.
Mr. Chair, members, my name is Greg Zwaber. I'm the Executive Director for Big Brothers Big Sisters of Southern Minnesota. I'm thrilled to tell you about a new scholarship program that our agencies in Minnesota here for Big Brothers Big Sisters are going to start awarding this spring. Annually, 60 to 80 scholarships will be awarded by the three Big Brothers Big Sisters agencies throughout the state, thanks to the support of the Federated Insurance Foundation and the donors that attend the Federated Challenge each year here in the Twin Cities. These funds that will support scholarships up to $5,000 per student per year. A couple different groups will be eligible for that. One will be, most importantly, our former or current little brothers and sisters who were in the program for at least 18 months and mentored by a Big Brother Big Sister. And then also our high school Big Brothers and Big Sisters who are currently mentoring students throughout the state during their junior and senior years. The scholarship will be specifically for Minnesota schools only, and it'll be for those who are planning to attend a Minnesota school and pursue a two-year degree or a shorter educational certification or degree. And we'll be giving preference to students who are pursuing a degree or program in one of the trades. Mm-hmm. There will be a spring deadline and a fall deadline, so the students will be able to apply twice throughout the year and enter either the spring or fall of the college year, respectively. Mr. Chairman and members, I tell you this because this not has anything to do directly with the funding we're asking for you, but it's a perfect example of how the work of funds that are appropriated to the Big Brothers Big Sisters agencies are multiplied several times over to serve the kids of Minnesota. I urge you to support the Bill 572, and Gloria and I would be happy to answer any of your questions. Thank you for your time.
Okay. Any question from committee members? Senator Scully?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. How do you recruit the mentors? What's your outreach to the community to find the Big Brothers? What's your mechanism for that?
We have recruitment staff who go out 7 days a week. Every community activity, every community fair, churches, the corporate sector, and we look for people who want to give their heart to be a mentor for our young people. And so it is an ever-rolling process that never stops. You should also be aware that as not only do we recruit, but each mentor we have has a background check because our children are extremely important to us. They deserve our protection. And we make sure that everyone has a background check and that we do our very best to support that in with our children.
Senator Scully.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And is that kind of the limiting factor on how you grow, or are there other things that would be a limiting factor? And is there any of this proposed resources here that would be used to get at that part of the issue?
Ms. Lewis.
These resources will be used to make sure that our young people have post-secondary education. We do hope that they will become bigs eventually, but this does not have anything to do with basically the basic recruiting for our bigs. I would just like to add one thing to that. All of us are very aware that college is important. We put incredible emphasis on young people going to college. We want them to continue to go, but we also know that most of our young people have incredible high loans when they finish college. We also know that there are some very high-paying jobs that are in the job sector today that does not require a four-year education, and we know that we have actually jobs that are going unfilled in the state of Minnesota because we need to train more people. So that's the future that we're moving our young people into.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Lewis. Any other comments?
Mr. Chairman, maybe yes. Mr. Mueller, is this in the base already, or what is this? Ask for an
interview. Mr. Mayor?
Mr. Chairman and members and Senator Tomasoni, yes, this program is in the base at half the amount, $125 per year from the Workforce Development Fund. So the bill in front of us would double the funding.
Okay.
And it's the base budget is also part of the governor's budget.
That then, Mr. Chairman, if there's no further questions, I think we should lay it over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill.
Okay. We will lay over Senate File 572 for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill. Thank you. Okay. With that, we adjourned the Committee on Economic we adjourned Environment and Economic Development on and Agriculture Division until Wednesday, the same time.